Time for our legislative hotline on our Thursday edition for the week. And this week, Jason, we welcome in 7th District State Senator Shelley Short, who joins us live from Olympia.
Good morning, Senator. How are you doing?
Good. Good morning to you, and thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, we're doing this every other week. Thanks for being with us. You're in Olympia, and how's the weather in Olympia right now?
Very rainy, but it has also been snowy, so the roads have been quite interesting a time or two.
Now, do you get home on the weekends pretty much? Is that easy for you to...
I don't. It's a 7-hour drive one way in good weather, so I've made it home once. My husband has come over here for a few days, and so I'm hoping to get home in the next week or so.
Yeah, well, there you have that. Governance legislatures like I have, and of course, you got mountain passes to deal with to get over here to the east side. There is that. I've worked in some legislatures where they actually take most of Friday off so that you can go back home, but they don't have that here, I guess.
No, they don't.
All right. So let's talk about, why don't we start off with some of your bills, and then we'll get into the meat of what you really are passionate about, some of these other bills that passed that are good or bad. Tell us about a couple of your bills, several of your bills that are moving forward right now.
Sure. Well, land use is a huge issue when it comes to, you know, how our communities grow, the housing, you know, how it supports the communities, how it provides for infrastructure and houses. Housing is such a huge deal. So the Growth Management Act in throughout most of the state really governs local jurisdictions planning, you know, our county commissioners, our cities. My bills, I've always said the Growth Management Act, especially for some of the smaller jurisdictions, is like a square peg in a round hole. You know, it just doesn't fit. Actually, it was never supposed to apply to your smaller jurisdictions, but it has over time. So what my two bills do are start looking at the smaller cities. Let's say you're a city under 25,000, and one of my bills that passed up the floor actually last night would allow these small cities to adopt a county critical area ordinance. Those are huge things that, you know, that counties and cities do to protect the environment and ensure we have agriculture and all of that. But what I like about it is it offers flexibility if the city so chooses to do that, as long as the critical area ordinance isn't under appeal or litigation. And then they don't have to, you know, have their staff, limited staff, do that really, you know, it's a pretty gargantuan task, actually, to do that work. So I'm excited that bill gets through. I think that offers flexibility and really gets rid of duplication. Okay. The second bill is around comprehensive planning, and this is for the smallest cities. Can also opt out of their review of their, maybe say their original comp plan, as long as their area is not growing, you know, less than 10% growth in the population. That's a huge deal, because as soon as you do these plans and you do these revisions, those are subject to appeal. And so for our smallest jurisdictions, you know, that gives them an opt out, if you will.
Okay, that's pretty good. This is coming from, you're in this area of the state, which is fairly rural, so it would apply. Now, what are those numbers of those bills? Do you have them?
Okay, so the first one is 5374, okay. And oh my goodness, 5457 is the second one.
Okay, very good. Now, 5457, I believe, is what you said. Now,
yeah.
there are a couple of... bills running through the Senate. Of course, it's this time of the session when you're working long hours on the floor, passing a bunch of bills or not passing them or whatever. And so what is a typical day like now on the Senate floor for like today and yesterday?
Well, so great question. So we're on the floor. This is a part of the session where we're on the floor constantly through March 8th. That's our next cutoff. Probably won't work on Sunday, but I'm pretty sure we're going to work on Saturday. So our days will start, you know, at 9 a.m., but like last night, we went until close to 10 o'clock, and that's with really no break. I mean, that's our caucus time, that's, you know, debating bills, amendments, and all of the conversations that happen. So pretty much our days start at 9. Mine start a lot earlier than that, being in leadership, so I have meetings ahead. But every day is a little different. Sometimes we get off, you know, around 4:30 or 5, and then other times it's way late. I've seen the sun come up before, which is really entertaining, although the Senate doesn't have too many days like that.
Okay, so, but you will be in session Saturday?
It looks like it. Now, obviously, I always say schedules are very much in flux and subject to change, but for the moment, I do believe we'll be in on Saturday, yes.
We're getting to the point here where we need to pass these bills that are in the chamber, and if it's a Senate bill in the chamber of the Senate, needs to pass out of the Senate so we can get to the House before there's a cutoff point here. So
exactly.
So that's why we're going through all this. Okay, now we can talk about some of the good and the bad and the ugly about what you're noticing from your point of view.
Sure.
Go ahead.
So what I want to let listeners know, too, is there's so much of what we do here that's very bipartisan, with tremendous support. But there are fundamental issues that where we disagree, where, the Democratic majority is on one side and we're on the other. And it really comes down to how would we do it if we needed to work on, a particular issue and we disagree on what should be done. But the two bills I wanted to talk about that came up yesterday that we spent significant floor time on, the first one is 5599, and essentially, for youth shelters, there are spaces for children, safe spaces that they can go. We all support that, especially when they're dealing with, abuse and neglect. But this bill adds a component to that. So if your child might be a runaway and they go to one of these shelters, and the reason they're a runaway could be that they're struggling with their gender identity, they can actually be in the shelter and seek services, gender dysphoria, gender, transitioning services without the parent's knowledge. And now, not surgery. It doesn't allow gender, just transformational surgery without a parental notification. I just think what we've got here, and look, we care about these kids. We know that there are significant issues and, our youth struggle. We've all struggled, as we try to figure out who we are in life. But the thing that I don't like is the state, coming in between the parent-child relationship. Can you imagine being a parent and, your child's run away or you can't find your child? You engage law enforcement, you don't know where your child is. And I think it's just tragic that this legislation would allow that to happen. It just essentially, puts the state on top of something that the parents and children, should be discussing. Look, as parents, we've all had, as kids, we've had conversations, really hard ones with our own parents. As parents, we have them with our children. But the hard part is it doesn't bring those relationships together. It really pushes them apart. And I just think it's the wrong way to go.
All right. And the other one, I'm looking at it right now. I'm looking at what happened, and this happened here lately, that 5217 we were talking about, a whole lot of amendments offered and a whole lot of them not adopted, pretty much from your side there. I know that's how that works when the majority does what they do, because they control the horizontal and the vertical there. So that's what happened. So tell us about this 5217 Senate bill that recently passed through the chamber there.
Sure. So ergonomics is essentially the science of musculoskeletal, injury, and disorder. So that if you think of, things that where you're lifting heavy items or you're doing, repetitive tasks. So already in state law, without this bill, the labor and industries has the ability to make sure that businesses are creating, safe working environments, right? So they already have that. This issue first came up in the late 90s, early 2000s, where Elle and I did extremely broad, far-reaching rules, and an initiative to overturn and repeal them was successful. It was Initiative 841 that said, look, we need to have the feds work on this. We also need to focus on technical assistance for businesses so that they have the information they need and the things they can do to keep workers safe. We are not anti-worker safety, but I also don't believe that we should give tremendous broad-reaching grants of authority to a state agency without good safeguards. And this bill does not have those safeguards. I think it's going to be, I think it's actually going to cost jobs. I think it's going to cost workers their jobs. It could actually force more automation. And the thing they come back with is if you can't do a task, or let's say you can do a task, they have a formula, and you can only do that task for a couple of hours a day. Wonder if that's your job. Wonder if you can't, you know, be put into another job at that company to do something different. You know, you kind of wonder, does that person keep their job? Do they lose hours? And our amendments really focused on technical assistance and coming back to the legislature with these rules. So if the agency was far-reaching, if the agency, you know, didn't get it right, there wasn't that balance, then the legislature could take action on that. And none of those amendments, unfortunately, survived. But look, it's our duty to bring these ideas up and how we would handle them. And unfortunately, after about 2.5-3 hours yesterday, it didn't go, you know, our way. But I hope, you know, I hope LNI is sensitive to balancing this issue between workers and their employers. We'll stay tuned on that.
Okay, good. Now, nice description about what happened there. I saw lots of amendments offered. That, of course, extends the process of just the bill, hearing the bill in the first place in a chamber like the Senate. Here's a House bill that you're aware of and familiar with that will create a domestic violent extremism commission. And this has some roots, I guess, in the federal government identifying domestic terrorism there. Go ahead and tell us your view on this bill.
Well, I think this is a horrible bill. And look, the balance here is a person's fundamental right to free speech, period. You know, you may have, how is this ubiquitous commission going to determine what's okay? You know, at what point does your free speech become something that needs to be targeted under this bill as a domestic terrorist? It's very vague. It gives huge authority to the Attorney General's office in a way that that I think runs counter to our constitutional freedom. Look, we know domestic terrorism is a real thing. But the big thing about this bill is who it targets. You know, when I think of domestic terrorism, I think of somebody trying to do harm, you know, to, I mean, you think of the terrorist acts of, you know, that have happened over the years. You know, you think of Timothy McVeigh and what he did to that federal building, and you think of, you know, mass casualty, right? You think of what happened in Las Vegas, with the shooting. To me, that's domestic terrorism, but you know, you get into a point where what you or I believe or say, our speech becomes regulated. That's a huge, huge red flag to me.
Okay, very good. That's the time we have for today for Senator Shelley Short. We've been very good at getting you. Only one time have we missed because you were in a committee meeting. You're not in committee meetings now, so hopefully we have you sequestered for the next couple of times that we get you.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. I'm committed to that.
All right, very good. Senator Shelley Short of the 7th District saying thanks for joining us on the Legislative Hotline this morning. Take care in Olympia. KPK News Time is 8:19.